Please take your Bibles and turn to Luke, Luke chapter 1. I'd like to share tonight on the topic of believing. And I'm going to practice it tonight because I forgot my glasses. So Luke chapter 1. I think we'll be all right. I think I'm in Zechariah right now. Luke chapter 1. By the way, Merry Christmas. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. The best we know from God's word and scholars tell us that Jesus Christ was probably born sometime in the beginning or the middle of September. And so, Merry Christmas. Did you get me something? Oh, well, it's okay. Luke chapter 1. This record that we're going to read here, the first record we're going to look at, actually occurred probably sometime around December, okay, when this actually happened. So Luke chapter 1, look at verse 37, please. Actually, I think I want to start with verse 26. We're going to get a running start on that one. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Nazareth, a city of Galilee named Nazareth. By the way, the angel was pretty busy these days. A lot of frequent flyer miles old Gabriel was getting at this time. He had just visited Zacharias, he visited Joseph, he's visiting Mary. Busy angel this time of year. And he showed up, and it says that he showed up into Galilee, a town that was called Nazareth. He says in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, we all know about Mary. And here's the record of the angel Gabriel coming to give her a message. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Wow. Now, here's Mary. Just picture this, please. Oh, by the way, my lovely assistant, would you come here, please? Stand right here, please. I have to get this here. Okay. This, by the way, sorry, zebra was the only thing I had. There's Mary. Okay? I think sometimes we get a picture of Mary, we see someone around 30 years old, you know, when this happens, because we saw the movies, right? It's always someone who's around 30 years old. Mary was probably more like Aaron's age, around 13 or 14 years old. And that's when the angel came in. She probably didn't have zebra, but who knows, you know? She could have been a retro believer. Thank you. So here, this young believer person was probably in her house. She might have been in her room. And the angel shows up. He goes, Hail, Mary. It says here, Hail Mary. Tell me what verse I'm in. Oh, there it is. Okay, verse 28. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, you know, we don't think much about angels visiting us today. There's lots of TV shows about them, right? And they come in and they're wearing like a tablecloth, right? They always come in and sometimes they have a little halo thing going on, some chicken wings behind them and stuff, right? That we see on the, but if an angel came today, it wouldn't look like the angel like Mary got, right? Because the angel came in the kind of garb that those people wore at that time. If an angel came today with that kind of a getup, you know, we'd go, dude, the toga party's down the street. You know, I mean, we wouldn't expect that, right? To us, he would probably wear the kind of clothes that we wear. And some people probably in here have even had angels visit them. It's one way that God communicates with his believers. And he came to Mary, and he said, Mary, you are blessed. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled. Some people think that Mary might have been sitting around there waiting for him to show up. You know, when the angel comes, Hail Mary, highly blessed, she goes, Where have you been? No, Mary was a little surprised by this angel's visit. Okay? Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, isn't that cool? So very often when an angel visits a believer, the first thing out of that angel's mouth is fear not. Fear not. Things of God are not to be feared. God doesn't come to scare people. He came here and he said, You're blessed. You found favor with God. Verse 32. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He should be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, Are you talking to the right person here? No. She says, Okay, whatever you say. Well, no, actually, she had a question, didn't she? She had a question. Excuse me, I have a question over here. Pick me. She goes, How is it, seeing I know not a man? The angel came to her and gave her some instructions, and she didn't quite understand how it was going to work. So Mary was very, very honest with the angel, and she said, Can you please tell me how's this going to happen? She didn't think that the angel knew that she was supposed to somehow already know what was going to happen. Sometimes when we hear God's word, we sort of think we're supposed to already know that. But if it's new to you, it's new, right? Here the angel came to Mary. She'd never heard this before, so she had a question. And so she asked the question. Verse 35, the angel said unto her, Well, how come you don't know? No, he did not. How loving, the angel just said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. You know, we think, this sounds kind of weird, this overshadow thee. It's kind of an interesting word. It's only used, I think, 4 or 5 times in the New Testament. It's used usually about clouds, the clouds that overshadow. One place it's talking about, you might remember in Acts, where it says the shadow of Peter might overshadow them and they would be healed. Remember that from the book of Acts? In the Old Testament, very often God would represent to the children of Israel his great presence with a cloud. Sometimes it was bright, sometimes it was dark. But that would be the kind of picture that Mary would have in her mind. And he explained this to Mary. And then in verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, which was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, what a comfort that must have been for young Mary to hear that her cousin who had never had a kid, had never had a child, and she was old, her cousin, that the angel said to her, You know what? Your cousin also is going to have a child. Do you think that might have gotten rid of some of the fear that she might have had? Made her a little comforted about this thing that God had given her to do? And then what a wonderful thing in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, I want to read you a couple of other translations of this verse. The American Standard Version in the 1901 version says, For no word from God shall be void of power. The word here for nothing shall be impossible, the word nothing, it's really the word in the Bible. There's a couple of words specifically used for the word, and this word for word is the word that means a word. I'm going to tell you a definition of this word in a minute. And the Phillips translation has, For no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. No promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. What did he tell her? He says, My word, God's word, will not fail you. Isn't that cool? That's what it is. If you look it up in the Greek, you'll see it. It's that Greek word rhema, the word for word. And it's the word that means a word in the word. In other words, I told you there's two basic words for word. There's one that means the communication of God's word. Like when we talk about the Bible being the word of God, it's a different Greek word from this word. This word means even just one phrase, just one word in God's word. He says, not even one word of my word is without power. Every little word from God's word is powerful. And that's what the angel told Mary. Wasn't that a little comforting? He'd given her this task that was going to mean a little bit of hardship for Mary. And he says, don't worry, not even one word from my word will fail. It can't fail. That was a little comforting for Mary. There's great power sitting dormant in God's word. And it's unleashed when we believe, and we're going to see that here in the life of Mary. By the way, he didn't say to you, Mary, with you nothing shall be impossible. Did he? Sometimes we think it's up to me. Well, where's my believing at? Sometimes I'm worried about me, and I focus on me. And that's the wrong place to focus. You might want to look at something like Psalm 77. See what happens when somebody focuses on themselves. We're not to focus on us. I'm not so great. I have Christ in me, but that's the thing that makes me great, isn't it? We focus on God. God's word has power. And when I believe God's word, I have power. And that's what he told Mary. Mary wasn't there thinking, I've got to get it together here. I've got to work it out so I can bring God's word to pass. That wasn't the situation. Well, why do we sometimes feel that way? Why do we feel pressured when we're given God's word that I have to make it happen? I do not, and neither do you. God will make his word happen because not one word of his word is without power. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? Don't we have a lot of words from God's word that are written to us? Is it my job for them to come to pass? Not really. God's. It's pretty comforting. Mary could have figured she'd screwed up all mankind if she messed up on this, but it was God's job to bring his word to pass. Okay, what verse are we in? 37. 30. What verse? 37, thank you. Oh yeah, for with God it shall be impossible. No word of the word. Okay, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's response was, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know what that means? She said, I'm your servant, God. Whatever it is that you want, I'll do it. What an awesome example for us of believing, isn't it? Here this young girl gets God's word. An angel shows up. Somebody in a tablecloth with a big G on his tunic shows up in her room. And she goes, whoa, hi, I have a couple questions here. And then he tells her God's word. And then she just says, that's God's word. So be it. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever it is, I'll do it. And God gave her the absolute comfort that it would come to pass. There's kind of a cool record of believing. Well, it says in verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, this is kind of natural, isn't it? God had, by way of the angel, just told Mary, your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a kid. And you too are going to have a child. So what would be the natural thing Mary would do? I mean, I want to go see Elizabeth. I want to go see my cousin. God's working in her heart. God's working in her life just like he's working in mine. So she got up. She got her horse together or whatever she used to get over there. And she got over, it says in haste, she hurried up into Judah to go see her cousin Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says in verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Pretty cool, isn't it? I always wondered why it says in a loud voice. You know, like if she was here, Aaron, you have to be Elizabeth. Oh, no, you have to be Mary again. Okay, stand up. Blessed are you among women! That's a little weird, isn't it? Okay, that's probably not the way that it was. But I don't know, maybe she was in the kitchen when Mary came. They didn't have doorbells in those days. They didn't come to the house, you know, and ring the bell. Ding dong, you know, oh, that must be Mary. She had no idea Mary was coming. And so she was in haste. She comes to the door. You know how they knew people were at their door? They yelled. I yelled a little much too much last night, so my voice is kind of gone. But they yelled. They go, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. That's how they knew that somebody was at the door. And so she came to her door. She yells, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is probably out in the kitchen making pumpkin pie or something. And she goes, the babe leaps in her womb. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she speaks. In a loud voice, it says, but how comforting what she said must have been to Mary. It says, in a loud voice, she said in verse 42, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Don't you think that would have comforted Mary's heart? Her own cousin Elizabeth, getting revelation from God, getting information from God, saying that Mary was going to have the child who was going to be her Savior. Wouldn't that comfort Mary? You know, God does this for us today too. We just need to look for it. We need to allow God to really bless us. Let's get our minds off of how we're so unable and how we're so inept to do his word, and let's just start expecting that God's going to bring his word to pass in our lives. God does so many wonderful things for us that we don't even notice. Here, all these great things that he's doing to bless this little girl, Mary. And what a blessing it must have been. It says in verse 44, for as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believed, it says in verse 45. I think we're getting closer to a biblical definition of believing. She said that Mary believed, didn't she? Now, what did Mary do? Does anybody remember? Okay, she had a question in verse 34. She had a question, right? And then what did she do after the angel spoke and answered her question? Be it unto me, right? According to thy word. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You know what God calls that? Believing. Could you do that? Yeah, you could do that. You get information. I can too. I get information from God's word. Can I believe it? Yeah, just like Mary. Now, how much could that 14-year-old have figured out how to get this thing done herself? Would have been pretty tough, huh? It's ridiculous to think that. So let's us also keep the same mindset that Mary had. When we get God's word, he's the one that has to bring it to pass. I accept God's word and act on it. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. God will bring his word to pass, and that's his responsibility. My responsibility is to believe. So she didn't have a better idea. You know, she didn't say, well, this is the way it's going to be. Sometimes people do that to God, right? You pray to God, God, I need this, and this is the way you have to do it. You know, we don't use those words, you know, but that's what we sometimes do. But God gave us so many great promises in his word for us to believe. It's easy to believe. We're going to see some more examples of it. Genesis chapter 12. Here's the dude who's called the father of those that believe. This would be a good one to look at, don't you think? Genesis chapter 12. I think one reason God might have put this in the Bible was to encourage us. To encourage us to believe his word. It's our buddy Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee. And I will make thee of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow. So here's a promise from God. He said, out of you, from you, is going to be a people. And then if you want to go, if you look down in, I'll let you read verse 4 first. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So how old was he? 75. Okay, remember he was 75. Okay, now let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. That's not the guy that's going to be your heir, Abraham. He said, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. This is the second time God gave him the promise, isn't it? Second time he gave him the promise. Let's go to chapter 16. Oh, sorry, I want to read a couple more verses. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou wilt be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Just like all those stars up there. And it was different for us, you know, like standing on your rooftop in Jersey City looking at the stars, and you can see like the moon and, I don't know, maybe a planet, you know. That time there weren't a lot of lights around. The sky was just stars everywhere. He looked up there and it was just all of these lights everywhere, millions and millions of stars that he could see. And God said to him, look, that's the way it's going to be. Okay, in verse 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed. That's what it says here. Let's go to chapter 16. You got a running start. Look at verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. She made pants. And verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. I think that's pretty funny. God already told him twice, right? He told him at least twice, you're going to have a son, and it's not going to come from someone in your house. It's going to come from you. And here his wife comes along with an idea, going, Abram, you know, it looks like I'm not going to have any kids. So I want you to have kids. So here, take Hagar. And Abram's like, oh, okay. And he does it. God promised him twice already, right? Oh, well, he went in unto her and he did have a son by her. Chapter 16, look at verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. 86. How old is that? 86. So 11 years later, this happened, right? Okay. Look at chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. This is the guy that's called the father of the believers. Look at verse 18. Chapter 18, sorry, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarai? Oh, angels again come to visit him. Okay. Here Abram and his wife, they're there in their tent doing stuff. Angels come to visit him to give him a message from God. It's not that weird, guys. It's possible for angels to visit us. But let's go to God's word to see how angels act, okay? It's not the way they show up on TV in tablecloths. And he says here in verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, I think this one is kind of like a whisper. Now, in verse 11. Now, Abram and Sarah were old and were well stricken in age, and it kind of ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, okay? The Bible is kind of explaining to us the situation here, okay? These guys just gave her the promise, and here it explains to us what the situation was physically. Verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm vexed old, and shall I have pleasure? My Lord Abraham also? He's also old. Yeah. Look at verse 13. It says, and the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely have a child when I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Wow. They were both looking at the physical situation, weren't they? And saying, not happening. And that can get us caught up too, can it? When we look at the physical situation. But here's the promise of God. It says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. There's the promise again. Sarah shall have a son. You know, Abraham here, well, let's go to Romans. Let's first go to Romans, please. Three times he was given the promise, at least. Romans chapter 4. What are we talking about here? Getting a promise of God and believing it. Romans chapter 4. Verse 19. Talking about Abraham, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. This actually is kind of not a great translation here. I have a couple of other translations I wanted to give you of this verse, okay? Because there's a few things here that are wrong, like the word not in this, where it says, he considered not his own body. That word not is not in the Bible. It's not in the texts. Okay, so that word not doesn't belong there. I'll tell you what the New International Version says. Without weakening in his faith, the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. The English Standard Version says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. See, it says he didn't weaken in faith. He didn't weaken in faith when he looked at the senses, and the senses said, uh-uh. He didn't weaken in faith. Now, we know there was a time when he and Sarah tried with their own senses. But at some point, Abraham believed God's word and he didn't weaken in faith. He just believed. And what did God do? He brought his word to pass. It's easy for God. He always brings his word to pass. It's up to me and you just to believe it. It's not up to us to make it come to pass for him. It's up to us to just believe it and let God do his job. It's what he wants to do. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. Verse 20, it said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What did Abraham have to believe? Words from God, right? God told him in a promise, this is what's going to happen, Abraham. That's what he had, the words from God. Well, that's all we need, is words from God. And when we have those words from God, we have something to believe. And he knew physically it was impossible. You know, he didn't have the little purple pill. You know what I'm talking about? That little pill that they take today, you know? They didn't have that thing happening. Of course, perhaps then he would have been the father of science, you know, if that had happened. But he is the father of those that believe. It says he believed God's word. He didn't have that little pill. And yet he looked at himself. He looked at Sarah. He went, not happening. And then he said, okay, God, just like Mary did, be it unto me according to your word. That's believing. We got the definition of believing twice. We were given words from God, and they accepted them. They acted on them, and guess what happened? God brought his word to pass, just like he promises us. Same thing, same thing. Let's go to John chapter 14. Isn't that a cool record that God put in his word? How awesome is it? Do we have any trouble understanding that record? It's pretty simple, isn't it? 100 years old. He goes, Well, you know, sometimes we're so smart because we think there are things that we can do to help God along. But we should also just start, get smart right away and go, Let's let God bring his word to pass. He'll do a lot better job than me trying to make his word come to pass. And I think the same for you. John 14, verse 12. I think we've heard this verse before. Jesus Christ speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. It doesn't say believe in yourself, does it? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in himself, the work... No, it doesn't say that, does it? He says, he that believes where? On me. Believes on me. Believing is acting directly on the word of God. I'd like my lovely assistants to come up now at this time, please. Aaron and Gina, let's have a little round of applause for them. Okay, so we have here something. This is a little thing for you to look at here. You see this little arrow kind of deal? Can everybody see that? Okay, now we've got two little sections here, don't we? We've got this section right here and this section right here. Now, as you look at that, please tell me, I need consensus here. Which section is bigger? This section here or this section here? The one on the right is bigger. Is that our consensus?
No.
No. Oh, you can't see it. Show them over there. Which one looks bigger? The one on the right looks bigger, doesn't it? Okay, well, let's bring the measurements guy. Let's just check this out, will we please? Okay, measurements guy, tell me, how big is this side?
8 inches.
8 inches, thank you. He is an independent judge. He received no remuneration for his services here. Mr. Judge Dude, would you do this side too, please?
8 inches.
So, thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'll keep this. Thank you, thank you. It's a little misleading, isn't it? Now, some of us might have had really great senses and were able to figure out that one side of this was the same size as the other side of this. But most of us, our senses kind of deceived us, didn't they? And this side looks bigger. And then you take your independent judge and you measure it. Well, for us, the independent judge, the Word of God does that for us. The Word of God states truth. Our senses sometimes takes us places that we don't belong. And when it comes to God's word, when he gives us information, we should trust that his word has the right answer for us. And if we let our senses get involved, we'll probably pick the wrong thing. And that's what happened here. So I did the same thing when I looked at it. So some of you are really smart, and bless your heart. Okay, so let's go to Acts, please. Acts chapter 27. Sometimes I think it's better when we're in the situation like Mary and Abraham were, where they looked at the situation and they said, no way. Because when you say no way, sometimes it's easy to say, okay, God, I need your help, because I know I can't do it myself. But let's start to get to the place where we say no way before we even let our senses get involved. Because God's the one who brings his word to pass. And if he's responsible, he's going to do a better job than I am. And I think probably better than you too, but I can't speak for you. Oh, I wanted to tell you something too. For those of you that speak in tongues, I think it is the perfect example of how simple believing is. Okay? Those of you that speak in tongues, please silently speak in tongues right now to yourself. Did you do it? Okay. Anybody have trouble? Do you know what you just did? Seriously, do you know what you just did? Something that's impossible. Something that's supernatural. And how hard was it? Was it hard? Jeffrey, did you have trouble? Did you like stutter or anything? No. It just happened, didn't it? That's believing. And some of us do it many times a day, over and over and over and over and over again. Every single time I have ever tried to speak in tongues, you know what happened? I spoke in tongues. Every time. And I doubt sometimes other promises of God. It doesn't make sense, does it? Speaking in tongues is so easy. It's automatic. It's so simple. Every time we speak in tongues. And it's not even like speaking, you know, like believing for God to help you to get healed. Like in the physical. It's supernatural. It's completely supernatural. But we do it. And like most of, you know, today, most, it's like nothing to us. It's just, oh yeah, speak in tongues. You know? Well, there's a good example for us of believing. How simple that is? In God's eyes, it's just that simple for every promise of God. We just believe it, God brings it to pass. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Acts 27. This will be the last one we look at here. Acts 27. Oh, poor Paul. Oh my gosh. He's in a bit of a problem here. Acts 27. Paul is on a ship. It's getting pretty bad out there. They're in a hurricane situation. In fact, it says in, let's see, 27, look at verse, I want to read you the whole section, but I don't think we have time. What's that? 14? Well, yeah, that's a good verse. Okay. That's not the one I want, though. We're going to read verse 25. Because I'm just going to tell you what happened. He's in a ship. And by the way, thank you. This whole section is great to read. They're in a situation that looks impossible. He's on a ship. There's a hurricane. They don't see the stars or the sun or the moon or anything for several days. And it says all hope that we should be saved was taken away. All hope. We're dead. We are dead. That's what they thought. And then Paul, bless his heart, God's person on that ship, in verse 25, he gets up and he says, 27:25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." What are you, crazy? They can't eat because, first of all, they had to throw it all overboard because all that food would have knocked them all over, or they would have gotten sick because it was so bad. It's been days since they saw the sun. Everything is going wrong. The ship is shaking. They're still in this midst of a hurricane. And Paul comes along and goes, "Don't worry, dudes. It's really great." What are you, crazy? "Be of good cheer," he says. Actually, that's a cool phrase you should look up sometimes in the Bible. The places that "be of good cheer" are used are really awesome. And the result of "be of good cheer" is fantastic, just like this one. "Be of good cheer," verse 25. "For I believe God." There's the solution to this terrible situation. They're in a shipwreck situation. And what does Paul say? "Don't worry, dudes. Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." How hard is it to believe? Actually, the believing part itself isn't so difficult. I think more difficult for us is to get our senses to stop dictating what we tell ourselves, and to decide that what God's word says is more true than what our eyes and ears tell us. And when we do, it's just as simple as the Apostle Paul. Dudes, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. No word of God shall be without power. Believing is a journey into the supernatural, into the heavenly realm. You belong to a supernatural order. Let's just believe God's word, and it shall be according to the way that God spoke it. So, love you.